a newborn baby. Like, I had a baby with special needs, bro. She was in the hospital for 2 months before she could come home. She came home with a feeding tube. Like, the second day I drove the car, the day I brought her home is when they stole the car.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinna.
All right, well, I'm excited to have Jamal Collins on the Passion Behind the Art Show, Cleveland, born and bred, and I'm excited. I met a couple people from Cleveland so far. They've done me well, so I'm excited to have them on the podcast. Jamal, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure, man. I'm happy to be here, man. Thank you.
Let's jump right into it. How did Jamal's creative journey start?
I started off, man. I'm born in the 70s, so I was a creative kid always. I love the comics, and I just straight turned into a straight graffiti head, man. So I was always into like spray painting and all that stuff, man. Falling in love with hip hop when it first came out, and you know, I was lucky that I was able to go to college, man, and I picked graphic design at a beautiful time, man, in the 90s. So it was like, hey, we got this new thing called the internet. We got this new thing called Photoshop. So it was like I came in right at the good time, bro. And then you know how 90s was. It was like, you know, Wu-Tang and Redman and all of that. So I was at the hype energy of like, you know, Spawn was all out. So I was just trying to do all of this stuff, man. You know, put this all into my work. So that's where I was at.
It's crazy that you remember, you mentioned Spawn, because not too long ago, somebody was talking about Spawn, and they were like asking everybody in the room, and they were like, anybody remember Spawn? And then they were like, nobody was like, no. And they asked me, it was like, Daryl, you remember Spawn? And I was like, heck yeah, I remember Spawn. I remember where I was at. I remember everything about it. So it's crazy. Not a lot of people remember Spawn. I don't know why.
Yeah, I kind of had... Like, I kind of seen my art kind of transform. Like, you know how you just taking classes. You know, I was talented growing up drawing, but when I got those formal classes, I was able to apply that and then take that kind of style from Spawn, that grimy look, yeah, and kind of add it to what I was doing, and it kind of took me up to that level, man. Be honest, man.
Oh, that's nice. That little grit, that grit feel.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so now you're doing your thing. You're in school. You wanted to do graphic design. Like, when you jumped out of school, like, where did that turn? Where did that turn take you?
So when I got out, it was kind of weird. Even though the internet was kind of fairly new, finding a job was like you had to look in the paper. And, you know, he had to mail your resume. It wasn't even no email yet, really. This was 97. So I kind of was working here and there, and I landed a job at PricewaterhouseCoopers. So I was doing designs for the accounting firm. So at the time, it was Pricewaterhouse, and they merged with Coopers & Lybrand and made PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I was responsible for the collateral for the accounting firm. So that was everything. And I was kind of working hand-in-hand with the printing room. They had a printing room on deck, so we was doing all the collaterals for accountants, human resources, marketing, the lawyers, everybody. So that's what I was doing. So it was kind of cookie cutter. It was super boring, man. It was super structured. They was trying to put me in a box. And, you know, I just ended up just getting laid off, man. Luckily, bro. I was there for 10 years, man. And I started off good, but I just wasn't liking it. Because there was a lot of things going on. MP3s that first came out. You know, we was kind of going into multimedia, so Flash, Dreamweaver was brand new. So Dreamweaver, what you see is what you get, websites, and that was all, you know. So I was getting into that heavy, you know. I'm selling stuff on eBay. So I'm just like, you know, that, you know, I couldn't be, you know, restrained to the corporate brand guidelines, bro. And my manager, like my relationships, I don't think I was good. You know, I want to say it was all their fault, but I don't think I was good with my relationship building at the time. But you got to think, I ain't have nobody like me and you telling us and helping me navigate through the game or the corporate. I had to learn this on my own. Like, through trial and error, man, just like trying to fit in, trying to work my way up the corporate ladder. It really wasn't no working my way up the corporate ladder. It's PricewaterhouseCoopers. So it's like an accounting firm. So unless I'm going to be an accountant, it was no, you know, it wasn't nowhere else to go. I was at the ceiling.
Yeah, you were like at the starting role and the max role at the same time.
Exactly. This is a key point about the accounting firm is that when they merged, they came up with these brand guidelines, and these brand guidelines kind of put everything as a cookie cutter. You know, here's the header. Here's the, all you had to do was copy and paste, and you had a full blown collateral. And then they smart on their end, they started outsourcing the stuff to India. So they was able to have 24 round the clock design service with this cookie cutter brand guidelines. And it kind of got rid of us slowly but surely. It was 9 of us when it started out. Then it was 2. So dang. This kind of made it very like a manual.
Right.
So once it's come, once it becomes a manual, it's just like working at McDonald's. At that point, you're, you know, can be replaced easily and cheaper. So.
So why did you say luckily you got laid off?
Because I probably would have still been there. I would have been stuck there. Like, I think everything is by design. So we kind of complain about why did this happen? Why did that happen? It's all greater later, man. So it's just like the process that I had to go through, that I had to learn to go through this stuff with, you know, being in corporate and the structure and the red tape and all of that bull crap that you have to go through. I can explain this to the youth now.
Right.
So, you know, that gives me the credibility. Like, look, I'm not just preaching this. I've been in the game as old as some of the kids. This, you know, I've been in the game for years, so I kind of know what the heck I'm talking about.
Like, I would have never guessed that you was working for, design-wise, for a law firm, bro. Like, accounting firm. Like, I would have never, like, guessed that one bit. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, people get experience and you kind of see, like, some of their experience in their work. Like, there's none of that in your work.
I was wearing a suit every day. I was wearing a suit. I was clean. I was on the 27th floor. I was downtown. So at the time, being 27, man, this is like I made it. Like, this is the college dream, right? You graduate, you get the job, you wear the suit every day. You know, you're young, you're looking good downtown and all of that stuff, you know. So it was hard for me to deal with it, like coming into the transition on who I really am. Like on my talk, I talk about Murdoch and Daredevil. That's kind of like Murdoch, but like you said, you couldn't really tell because that really wasn't me, really. Mm. You know, I'm just kind of following the instructions of what we're supposed to do, what my parents want me to do. Like, you know, what everybody wants to do is, you know, the American dream is to do this.
So after you got laid off, like, what changed? Like, what did you start to do to kind of, when did this, like, pivot happen?
The pivot really didn't happen yet. I'm still kind of struggling and scrambling around. Like, I was trying to relocate to Atlanta, and I was getting some bites. And I was jumping from job to job, but at the same time, the economy tanked.
Right.
So the economy tanked around, I want to say, 97, 98. So, no, I'm sorry,
2007.
Yeah, 2007, 2008, 2009. So I'm jumping. I'm making good jumps because I'm making like $10,000 more. I made another jump. I'm making $10,000 more. So I'm making good bread, but at the same time, I wasn't staying at these places even a year, man. I'm like, all right, I'm making like this amount, and I wasn't even there long enough to know where the bathroom was at. It was like, they was calling me into, it's like, unfortunately, you're not going to make it to the Christmas party. I'm like, man. Screw the Christmas party. I need this bread, you know? So I was kind of like trying to relocate to Atlanta. So I'm going back and forth doing that. I'm studying my CDLs. I'm considering like throwing the towel in and driving the bus. Like, I got a family. I got kids. I got, you know, my wife holding down the ship. So it's like kind of a tough time. Like, I really don't know what to do. Like, I'm a designer, but I'm not getting, like, I don't know nothing about licensing work. I'm not getting a lot of retention on my work. Like, I get a logo, and then that'd be it. Like,
right.
I won't see him ever again. He's good with the logo. So it wasn't like the work was coming. Like, I get the phone calls now. I turn it down. I'm popular. But back then, it was like a rougher time. So I started volunteering, and I got a job at a way lesser pay rate at the Boys and Girls Club. But keep in mind, bro, I was out of work for 6 years, bro. It's a long time to be, you know, being somewhere where I'm trying to rely on my resume, saying I worked at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Like, I'm relying on my resume. It was getting me in the door, but that really didn't mean anything, bro, at the end of the day. Like, the big corporate name and the years, that, like, that really didn't matter, man, for some reason. Like, and then it's hard. Like, once you out of work for a long time, I'm really thinking that the companies are really kind of, I don't think they really want to employ you, like me. They want to say, well, how was you getting it? Like, I was getting this, like, how was you making it for the 6 years? And I'm naming these clients and stuff, and they wasn't buying it. They wasn't buying it. So, you know, maybe I didn't really have a lot to prove as far as, like, portfolio-wise to prove that. I mean, well, maybe the online presence really wasn't there. It's more like portfolio. I think the designers kind of rely on this portfolio because that's what we train.
Right.
We train to have the portfolio, and then your portfolio go in, and they're supposed to be wild on this portfolio. But I really, truly believe that them days is over.
Right.
You got to have full-blown animations, like screen captures, video, like commercials, like all of this stuff is what I'm teaching the kids now.
Facts. So, all right, so after the 6 years of this drought, like, you come into what?
I come into the Boys and Girls Club, right. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pay cut, but I don't care. I got to feed my family.
Right.
So, and it's just it's a rougher area. They kind of told me, like, you're going to be in this little area, good area at first. So I'm like, okay, I'm dealing with the little kids because I ain't really never, you know, I want to ease in, you know, before they send me to the trenches, man. But they sent me in the trenches. I ain't have no, like, I was supposed to shadow somebody with the little kids. Like, none of this happened. They just throw me on the 131st. Like, you know, you in this back room and, you know, have at it with the kids, man. It was frustrating, too, bro, for a long time, man, because half the time I'm sweeping up honey buns, man. I'm in the lunchroom. They low on staff. They not listening, man. It's, like, rough, bro. It's rough, but, you know, something changed when I started, like, work. Like, after a while, I think, too, when you get frustrated, you stop designing. You stop drawing. Like, that spawn I was talking about, I ain't really drawn like that since back then. Which, and I've been thinking about, I need to get back. Like, I sketch a little bit, but I was really going hard. Like, if I showed you some of my stuff, you'd be like, man. Like, I kind of stopped doing that. Like, I don't know, chasing the money, chasing work, and doing it for that.
Right.
So I started kind of drawing again, man. I started going out a little bit. I was going to Weapons of Mass Creation up here.
Right.
So I was getting some inspiration that I really wasn't getting before, and I started drawing, and I started ignoring them, and I started just going heavy drawing. So I was trying to be creative at the same time. The structure, the culture of the school was like, they don't even have it. That location I was at is not even near. My second day, they stole my car. I talk about this, bro. Stole my car, man. I ain't had no money to get my car.
Dang.
I stayed. I wouldn't have stayed. We wouldn't be talking, man. I would have been doing something else. You know what I'm saying? Like I said before, it's all by design. So it's like, you got to get through that hump. Like Zeph Gold talk about the dip. That's all a dip. Like, that's 6 years, the car getting stolen, that's all a dip, then the swing up. But you got to be patient to get through that dip. Like, people will be throwing the towel too quick.
Hey, dude, so much to unpack right there. So much to unpack. So, freaking stole your car. You start walking back and forth to work. Why didn't you just, like, find another job that was more convenient?
Because it wasn't. That was the only play I had. I was out. That was the only play I had. Like, I don't have no car. I got a newborn baby. Like, I had a baby with special needs, bro. She was in the hospital for 2 months before she could come home. She came home with a feeding tube. Like, the second day I drove the car, they stole. The day I brought her home is when they stole the car. So I had all this adversity going through at the same time, bro. It was, like, tough, man. It was tough, but I was patient. You know, this ain't my neighborhood either, bro. So I'm walking through the hood, like, this ain't really my street. You know what I'm saying? You know how that be.
Right.
In the summertime, it get, you know, I'm getting off, it's dark, so I gotta walk through, you know, it's like, right, man, bro. Crazy. But I, you know, I saved my coins and I bought a little car. It wasn't much, but it was enough to get, because I only live I don't live that far. So I could walk home. It ain't really that far, maybe 6 blocks. So I got a little car, man, and I got on my feet, and I was able to, you know, work up and, you know, get another car. So just, you know, time, like nothing's never promised, bro. You know, your house could burn down, like, it could be way worse of things, bro. This is America. We won the lottery, man. It just stay patient, stay the course, man. You'll come back up, like, you know. So, you know, a lot of people don't have that toughness, man. You just got to be tough. You from New York, you know.
Right. So, like, were you, like, telling yourself this while you going through it, or, like, this is, like, hindsight?
This is kind of hindsight. Like, sometimes I'm ready to just, like, man, you know, like I was saying, like, studying my CDLs to drive a bus for some money, like I'm making bread on the bus, but at the same time, man, that ain't really, like, my passion, like, right, like what I'm loving to do. Like, I'm willing to take a pay cut to do something I loved and, you know, just ride around driving a bus, or that ain't me. You know what I'm saying? Like, people got to do what they got to do. Not knocking nobody who do whatever they got to do, bro. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it was like, you know, it just wasn't in the cards because it wasn't coming easy to me.
So how did teaching these kids affect you?
At first, I was just going through the motions. But when I started teaching graphic design, see, I switched. I wasn't there. See, everything happened so fast. I was only there within a year, and I was resigning and coming back in as a consultant, making more money. So that's what happened. So I seen some guys coming in doing specialized work, and my art director, I came to him and said, look, let me teach these guys graphic design, man. I'm just teaching them painting and drawings. It ain't but... You can't do Starry Night but so many times, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, let me come in. Because I seen some IMAX. I'm like, let me come in and do some specialized work. So I resigned within a year, bruh, and came back in. Nobody has done this before then and after then, bruh. Corporate kind of lost, kind of flipped. Like, wait a minute, man. They was kind of tripping a little bit because... It was just out the blue, like, I resigned and coming in. I'm making way much more dough working less time. You know, this is like a power move I done made, you know? And then for something like that to be not... This, I ain't had no videos on a YouTube channel proving that. Now I could just come in, they see the channel. People want to just say, let's get this guy in. It's easy now. Right. Not saying it's easy, but I got leverage of a track record. Now this is just like new. They like, wait a minute, bro. Like, all staff wanted to resign.
Come back in as a consultant.
Everybody wanted to do that. So I started out, like, at 2 locations. It grew to 7. I started recording the classes, and then this one, it jumped. But not only that, I recorded something in East Cleveland. It's up to 40,000 views. I recorded some streets that I had was, you know, kind of grew up near. And it was like an abandoned streets, like crazy. I don't know if you saw the video, but...
I did.
Yeah, so that video kind of took off. I was doing some exposure weeks. I started doing some speed art, just inspirational stuff to get the kids motivated. And it just kind of took off from there. And I just started perfecting the video and just crushing on the content like crazy. Making my own memes, just like going nuts. So this was like... I felt like this was needed to kind of put some fire underneath the youth, man, and just get them, because they just sitting around like everything is like gravy, and it's not. It's not, man. It's It's not gravy at all, man. I asked them, raise your hand, tell me how many people live in single family homes. They all like this. Who know a gang? They all like this. Like, it ain't no time to be playing Fortnite and Minecraft, bro. It's time to get to work, man. Like, for real.
That is epic. That the fact that you're sewing in, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, we get caught up in trying to build this thing, and building this thing is never so much really trying to sew in, especially in the younger crowd. It's more so, you know, sewing into our peers or sewing into someone who we can later on leverage. You know what I mean? It's never really so much, okay, let me sew into the kids. Like, so you're going from, are all these Boys and Girls Clubs like the seven locations?
Yeah, at this point, yeah. It's all the Boys and Girls Club at this point.
So how did that idea even come? Like, okay, like, I'm going to resign, and then I'm going to come through as a consultant. How did you even pitch that?
Well, I seen a guy come in, and he was doing specialized ceramics.
Right.
So I was, like, asking him, because it was confusing to me. Like, he was just a consultant, so I was like, how do you get to be a consultant? You know, it's like, at the same time, I mean, I was going out a lot too, so I'm like heavy with the, I was so heavy in the industry because I was going to Weapons of Mass Creation. So I had some stuff that the Boys and Girls Club, they don't have a designer.
Right.
They don't know nothing about Creative South and Weapons of Mass Creation and, you know, layout and all of this stuff. So, you know, it was just my art director kind of taking a chance on me and going in this route, man, and he kind of saw it. So he kind of went with the whole idea of resigning and coming back in as a consultant, because it was major, bro. It was more grants. We buy more IMAX. It make the, and, you know, I make everybody look good, man. You know, I got like 4 or 5 IMAX in these different locations, and I'm going in, and within a couple of weeks, man, these guys is in Photoshop cranking out posters, flyers, doing logos, man, and confidence shooting up. You know, they hanging out with me. I'm taking them on field trips. You know, within the first week, I mean, like, shortly after that, I had them in the Cavs boarding room, bro. So I'm lining up the dots with the Cavs, and we did a whole design initiative with them, with the web designer and the graphic designer who does all the stuff for them. So I had them in the boardroom. They, like, 10 years old, man. So, you know, you know, finally somebody had went for something that I was passionate about at the time.
Right.
Like, you know, good thing that they wasn't on my side of the accounting firm, because I'd still be there, because they still there. They still there, bro.
So you said, so what's the age groups you said again?
Mostly middle school.
Mostly middle school. That's a good age, man. That's a good age.
That's the ones I prefer. Like, if they're older, I would prefer them to be really, really design heads when right. they're older, because they're so distracted, man. It's hard to dial them in because they're too far gone at a certain age. They have to be really creative, man.
I feel you. So, all right, let's jump ahead a little bit. So what's, like, the first hour of Jamal's day like?
First hour, in a perfect world, man, I try to get up and no electronical devices. I was trying a couple, you know, I try to read a little bit, but it depends, man. You know, I got 5 babies, so it can range. But in a perfect world, it's like me getting up, me reading a little bit, me writing in my journal. I was trying to craft out like 10 ideas every morning. I had kind of fell off with that. A little coffee, a little breakfast, man, and a little reading before I jump into anything. So just trying to stay away from the social networks as much as possible.
that's funny to me. Like, a few people that I've had on the podcast, like, when I ask them that question, especially, like, starting out the day, it's like, let me do my best to not go to the phone as my first thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just fascinated by that. Like, why you think that is so much of a necessity to, like, okay, let me not go to the phone as my first thing?
Because the phone, man, I mean, it's something that, like, you know, it's the dopamine that you get. It's the feedback loops that you get from your phone. It's already bad enough, man. Your leg feel like it's vibrating. You have phantom vibrations in your leg. Your phone ain't. I mean, it's crazy connected. How connected we are. I seen something talk about. I read something about the shallows and deep work. So deep work and the shallows is about, you know, mind hacking and the internet and kind of breaking from that. You're never really gonna get deep concentrated work because you're always looking at different stuff. You never concentrate on anything. So to break against that, like, you know, I had just shot a video talking about if you don't know who the sucker is in the room, then 9 times out of 10 you the sucker. I got that off of Ty Lopez's 67 steps. So it's like that phone, man. I don't know. I want to come off of it because I'm looking at stuff sometimes I'm not supposed to look at. You know, and it's, I'm trying to clean up my timeline. And, you know, it's kind of distracting a lot. So
I feel you.
I try to, like, yeah. So I guess it's like really controlling, you know, are you riding the horse or is the horse riding right. you? And the horse is your desires.
Right.
So, you know, you control of everything. So
that
trying,
man. that's the truth. I mean, I try to make my stuff super filtered. Like I usually two things. I usually either have it on airplane mode starting the day, or I just completely turn off all the notifications. I recently turned off all my notifications, so like unless I go into a specific thing, I don't even get notified off it.
I took Facebook off my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I think Facebook, I took it off because I don't get the likes like I used to.
Yeah, that dang old algorithm, man. But, you know, you know, one thing I always think about, like, when I go on these things, am I creating or am I consuming? And because I know I have, I have a creating mind, I always feel guilty if I spend too much time consuming.
Exactly. And this too, man, I'm like looking at other people's time, like my timeline, like I'm looking at other people that I don't know. Like, it's like kind of weird when you think about it. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, dude, I feel you. My timeline is strictly, I will say 90%, because I super filter my stuff. It's strictly of people that I know. I support them. I like to see what they're doing. Like, we both know Lisa, like, she's on my timeline because I like to see what she got going on. Super inspiring, you know, stuff like that, you know. But let's jump into some of these people. Like, who, like, when you were going through this stuff, when you were going through all of this, like, who were them people that kind of kept you together, your support system?
My support system is my family. So my mother and father, they've been married like a year before I was born. So they've been married for 49 years. They're still together. And I had both my grandparents. So I had the best support, family support system in my whole community, bro. So I was able to, they stood by me through it all. So my mother, I don't want to say my mother was the most patient for me, because in the 80s and the 90s, I was kind of out of control, bro. I was headed to the penitentiary, bro. If they don't really know it, but I was on my way. You know, I had the bad influences. I was a bad influence on some, and I was just out of control. We really had no guidance, so we were just learning by what we, you know, we were just in the streets, man. So, you know, we were just a product of our environment, man. I want to say that we was in a nicer neighborhood, so I really wasn't, like, my neighborhood was okay. So about time drugs hit my neighborhood heavy, I was already in college. So in the 80s, it was down and around my school, but it really wasn't like, we didn't really see no effects from it. They was up there smoking, but they really, you know, you really couldn't tell it was like working class drug addicts. You know, those type. Maintain the job, but still, you know, still got some cocaine in their system. So, yeah, my parents, for the most part, man, they supported me. Because you got to think about it. When I majored in graphic design, it wasn't like it is now. Wasn't no internet. So it was just like, okay, son. They kind of went, I was kind of strong headed, man. So they really couldn't tell me a lot what to do. So they kind of stuck with me, man. You know, because it was at a point where my mother was like, do you want me to just sign you out of school? And I was like, man, what am I going to do all day, man? I mean, luckily, I mean, for the most part, I just went to high school for the chicks and for my dudes. You know what I'm saying? That was it, man. I really wasn't getting nothing out of it. But I do always talk about commercial arts. It was a we had a vocational program that was good. We had auto mechanics. We had beauty skills for the, you know, beauty petitions. And we had commercial arts, but my grades wasn't good enough to get in there. They was airbrushing. They was doing graffiti on ceramics on the back of jean jackets and all of that stuff, man. I wasn't able to get in there, bro. Mm. So that was the only thing that I kind of wanted out of high school, really, that I looked forward to. You know, I was in art one, art two. The next thing was commercial arts, right. And no.
But I mean, the good thing now, you're creating that for these kids right now.
Exactly.
And how has this impacted you, though? Like, I understand what you've been given to these young people, but how has that impacted you?
It impacts me a lot, man. It makes me feel young again, man. And it helps me. It makes me accountable, too. Yeah. So I have to keep creating. I got to practice what I preach. I got to make sure that I'm, you know, keeping up on the trends of education and youth and how they think and how to really, you know, I guess, leave back some type of legacy with my family and with my kids, man. So, you know, I kind of make the videos for my kids, even though they're a little too young to watch them yet. You know, I want to leave back behind something where they can look and see my point of view, my philosophy, like my thoughts, like, you know, where I'm coming from and how I feel. So just trying to grow, man. I think, like, our mind is like our body. Our body needs food and our mind needs food, and that's knowledge. So, you know, we have to keep, you know, being smarter. That's one thing that I kind of felt like when I was in back in the day. I always felt like I really wasn't smart enough. Mm. Like, you know, so I read a lot, man. I look at a lot of stuff, man, because I feel like I need to know more. Mm. So I don't want nobody to, you know, I don't know. I just felt that, felt like that. Even though, even at a college, I mean, after college, like graduating, like I got my degree, I still felt like I wasn't smart enough. So that's why I packed.
You know, you have any idea where that probably came from?
I don't know, man. I mean, that may be just, you know, just being put down a lot. Mm. So you kind of had this voice in your, you know, it's just a negative voice in your head telling you not good enough, or you're not. Maybe they are right, but, you know, after a while, it's just starting wearing on you. Mm. Like, you know, we got secret inner office mail talking about you're not approachable and this, that, and the other. Like, all this little petty stuff, after a while, you know, gets to wearing on you, bro. Like, I get my evaluation, and the girl is nowhere near as good as I am, bro. Mm. Her evaluation is better than mine. How do I know? Because you know, when you print, the stuff is in the queue. So once she printed it, her job was still in the queue. So I just printed it off and read it like, she's this, she's that, and mine was just kind of like simple. But that's people, bro. They be jealous of you. They know you got that Wakanda in you. You got that flower in you. So you know, that flower that the Black Panther drank, that's in you. So, you know, people be trying to, like, suppress that.
Right.
They don't want you to shine and be yourself. So
I feel you, bro.
And I like to pass that on to the little ones, man. I just put it in a way that they can understand it and get some value out of it. So I just try to wake them up. Just like we was talking about, you know, telephones. The phones and stuff, the mind hacking. They don't know nothing about that, man. You know, so for me to sit down and talk about, like, well, I don't listen to a lot of music all the time. So they're like, wow, why? I'm like, because I got to watch what I'm listening to. Mm. I got to watch what I'm looking at. So this is like brand new. I think we fall so much into just the motions of everybody. It's just like, go work and then go home and chill and watch movies and Netflix and don't really read. Like, that's kind of like our culture is just kind of like turn up and party on the weekends and work during the week. And that's what we've been doing from generation to generation to generation. You know, it's like not really like building a, you know, building something where it's like, you know, I guess that's taking the least path to resistance, bro. And that's what it is. It's just work and then come home and then watch the game, you know, drink my beer, go hang out with my buddies, and then go back to work and go on vacation and, you know, grab my phone and get on, just do what everybody else doing. So,
all right, so let's go back a little. So I first heard about you through Creative South, not this year, but the year before, because you were supposed to speak.
Yeah.
And it didn't quite work out. Then I saw the video that you made. And I was like, this dude is hilarious. He just freaking just dropped out of the nowhere and started making a snow angel. I was like, so, like, how did the whole connection between Creative South come about?
I used to go to Weapons of Mass Creation a lot, and I met Lenny and I met Mike Jones there. So I kind of was following all these guys. So I was following like a lot of designers. I started like changing my social networks up. So I was like, I'm just going to follow all designers, all media people, all public relations people, anybody that's in the game, I'm going to follow those. Mm-hmm. So I just started building those relationships. So this kind of happened all at the same time. Like, so I'm doing these videos, building these relationships. And I started going out a lot here, but just to those type of functions. So I'm only going to creative events. So I know, you know, people ask me like, well, how'd you get in the paper? How'd you get on the news? Like, I know the lady that worked for the news. I know the lady who worked. So it wasn't by like just accident that came across me. Like, I've been building these relationships, like, you know, being uncomfortable, not knowing everybody all the time, going in there, standing around there on the flower on the wall. This is part of the process, man. Right. You know, I was already, you know, taking photos and doing, you know, I think the designers is the most valuable person, period, because right. We can do video, we could do photography, we could do design, we could do it all. So it's just kind of understanding marketing, is understanding this. So I'm sorry, I just kind of got long-winded, but I met them at the Weapons of Mass Creation. So they was kind of following me and seeing me on the social networks. So I had a conversation with Lenny. He was like, I want to get you to come to Creative South. So this was like after Weapons of Mass Creation. I had did a podcast on Adventures of Design podcast with Mark Bricky. Somebody had told him, actually, but somebody introduced me to Mark Bricky, and I was able to get on the show. Just spontaneity. He was like, you want to come on the show? I was like, yes. Yeah. So I was on the big stage, and that kind of just took off little by little while this was happening, man. It's like crazy.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up. So what is next for Jamal?
What's next, man, is continue to build this thing, man. I'm kind of working on a nonprofit right now, so I'm trying to put a nonprofit arm onto what I have right now. So that's kind of what I'm working on now, man, and just keep spreading the word. Like, that's it, man. Like, just trying to stay creative, man. I was just kind of getting a little burnt out. Just a little bit, man. I'm falling in love with film and cinematography, man. So I'm just trying to get my coins up so I can get some more lenses and some more toys, some drones and stuff, but still the same thing, man. Just, you know, trying to build and, you know, spread the word, do these podcasts, man, get the word out there, man. That's it.
All right, so what is that one thing that Jamal, it could be a device, whatever it may be, that you kind of hold close to kind of help you do your thing?
I got to say my MacBook Pro, man. That's my productivity tool. That's what I do everything off of. I was kind of torn by the camera, but I'm not there yet. So the camera is number two. But yeah, so I'm editing all my video. Just all my productivity is coming off of there. So yeah, that MacBook, I need it. I mean, I'll switch to the iPad Pro, you know what I'm saying, with the pencil. But at this point, like, the MacBook is my one.
All right, so as we get ready to close, what advice would you have for creatives out there?
Don't be scared to be yourself, man. And don't get frustrated if you have a lapse in your career. And just be yourself, man, and create content, man. That's my main thing. It's like, create videos. Do screen captures of your work. Post a lot. Get the hashtags. Use LinkedIn. I don't care if you had no jobs. LinkedIn is like got crazy impressions I would get on Facebook. Build relationships. Don't be scared to go out and be a flower on the wall till you meet these people. And that's the advice, man, is to go out as much as possible. Add a bunch of creative people. Add a bunch of content. Don't get frustrated. I just saw somebody post like they signing off all social networks. It's not working out for them. Like, don't ever do that, man. Like, use these tools, because how are people going to know that you're worth the value that you're, you know, the value that you bring? You got to bring value. How you going to bring value if you can't show it? So
So one last thing I want you to just kind of touch on a little is the idea of being patient. I feel like that is a big part of, you know, your journey. The idea of being patient, how important it is.
Yeah. Patience goes a long way, man. It keeps you controlled, so you control your emotions. So let's just say you got to be patient in your car. You got to be patient at the grocery store. You got to be patient with your career. If you're young, if you're older, you got to just think about the process and fall in love with the process. We all worry about the end game so much. I think patience and process is together. So falling in love with the process is just slow and steady, and you win the race, and not being so worried about the end game of whatever that is. It's no end game. It's no retirement. Like, all of this, like, people need to do their research on a lot of stuff. Like question all of this stuff. Question your phone. Question what retirement is. Retirement came from the Germans. Retirement came from because their life expectancy wasn't that long. So they wanted to get them out of the factory before they croaked and get the younger people in there to get them the opportunities. That's where retirement come from. Like, people really need to do their history lesson on why everything is why it is. And that's right. Gonna help you, you know, help you out. Like, it's no retirement. When you love what you do, you do that. Like, what are you gonna do? Watch TV for the rest of your life? I mean, what? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the truth.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that if that's what you want. If that's what you want, bro. I don't want to knock nobody what they do, man.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's not my thing. Like, if that's what you want, if you're content with that, then that's cool. But if you got that fire in you, and like I said, like, if you hungry for that knowledge, then ain't no retire. It's working for now until, you know, until forever, man. It's like you building something, man. So you got a skyscraper. I feel like if you got a company, a skyscraper, like, in the sky with your company, like, and your kids and grandkids can eat from that, then you can retire. But if you don't have that, it's work until then.
I hear that, bro. So where can people go to learn more about what Jamal is doing?
I want to send everybody, well, you can go to my website. So that's jaywork.com, jaywork.com. But I want to send everybody to my YouTube channel, man. I always forget to plug that. I need some subscribers. So find me on YouTube, too. It's jaywork in all one word, jaywork.com. Did I spell it right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, bro.
Dude,
it's freaking awesome talking to you, man. Freaking awesome talking to you, man.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
I'm going to let you go, but, man, thanks again for coming on
thanks,
the show.
Thanks,
man.
Bro.
This has been good, man. This has been good.
Yeah, yeah. We got to chop it up again, man.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. I hope it brought you a ton of value. I'm always open for feedback and just to hear what you thought and what stood out to you the most. So reach out to me through my Instagram or Twitter, DP Creates, and just let me know, like, how did this episode impact you, and what did you get from it? What stood out the most? I would love to hear what it is that brought you value. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. Be blessed.